Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. It's another Friday, which means another week is gone and we are closer and closer and closer to the start of the brand new Premier League season. Next week, Arsenal go to Singapore to play two friendlies in the International Champions Cup. All of those words are in inverted commas, ludicrously branded friendlies. But we're playing Atletico Madrid, of course, who we know well. They beat us in the semi-finals of the Europa League earlier this year, and renowned Qatari side PSG. Following that, Arsenal are in Dublin to play Chelsea with their new manager Maurizio Sarri in a friendly at Lansdowne Road, or the Aviva Stadium, as it now likes to be called. Then it's off to Stockholm, where we should have been playing Sevilla, but for some reason they have dropped out. It might be something to do with their involvement in the Spanish Super Cup. There was all kinds of shenanigans regarding dates and times and schedules over that game, which looked to have been fixed, but they have been replaced by those cuddly snowflake lefty liberals, SS Lazio. So that's taking place in Stockholm the Saturday after next. And that is our last preseason game before we open our Premier League campaign against champions Manchester City on the 12th of August at the Emirates Stadium. So it's going to get interesting and it's going to get busy, of course, because we're going to see a little bit of what Unai Emery is up to and what he's thinking about how his team is going to play, what sort of formation he's going to use, what kind of system he's going to use. We keep hearing about the high press. We hear about this winning the ball back quickly when we lose it. Really high energy kind of football. And it does make these preseason games just that little bit more interesting. You can't read too much into preseason, but this time around, because it's a new manager, because it's new coaching staff, because it's probably a new approach to how we play, we're going to get an idea of what we're going to look like and how we're going to play as we head towards that opening game and the brand new season, which wasn't necessarily the case with Arsene Wenger. Last season was the only season really where we had any real doubt as to what kind of formation he was going to play. Will he stick with a back three? Will he go back to a back four? How long will he stick with a back three? Ultimately, he did return to a back four because that's what he felt most comfortable with. But for a while, you couldn't tell what he was going to do and when he was going to do it. But I think this is just a little bit different, of course, because it is entirely new with new people and new signings. And we'll see some of those on the tour and we'll see some of them in the games in Dublin and in Stockholm. So that's where we are. In terms of what's been going on this week, there's a behind-closed-doors friendly against Crawley Town. I think we won 9-0. There might have been a behind-closed-doors game against Brentford as well. A few matches, perhaps for the manager, just to tweak a few things, to look at some players a bit more closely. And aside from that, the big story of the week, whether it's true or not, was the Ivan Gazidis to AC Milan link. I mean, fair play to Ivan Gazidis. He has made lots of changes at executive level, at boardroom level. The football structure has changed. We've changed the manager. We've changed the academy. We've changed the staff at the academy. We've brought a new under-23 coaches. We've appointed a guy who was one of the chief data dudes for Candy Crush, a game that lots of people played, or do play, I think, on Facebook or wherever the hell it might be. We've added another physio from Australia to join Darren Burgess's team. It's all going on, and so committed is Ivan Gazidis to absolute change this summer at Arsenal. We now have executive transfer tittle-tattle involving him. It's amazing. I am, of course, just taking the piss very slightly. I don't really expect Ivan Gazidis to go anywhere, despite the fact that stories from Italy say that AC Milan are interested. I don't know why having put all those things in place, you wouldn't want to stand over them and see how they all work out. I mean, that is the thing. We give him credit for everything that he's done so far, but now we have to just wait and see if it works, if the people are the right people. Are the recruitment people the right people? Is the director of football the right director of football? Is Unai Emery the right manager? We don't know that yet. I mean, we're hopeful and optimistic and excited, but we still have to wait and see. We don't have anything to judge these decisions by other than to say many of them, of course, were long overdue. And it's good to see that the club have made those changes. So into the new season we go, and the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. And of course, the eating is the football. The football takes place on the pitch. The league table is the kitchen. And come next May, we as the diners will say, how much of a tip are we going to leave? Was this the most delicious, sumptuous feast that we've ever had in our lives? Or were the prawns off and we're already running to the bathroom with squits coming out of both ends? We shall see. That is part of the excitement of what's happening this season. Now, because it has been a fairly quiet week, there hasn't been anything really to chow down on, I thought we'd do one of our phone-in podcasts. People can call in by Skype. They ask the questions, we have a bit of a chat, and we see where it all goes. So that's what we're going to do with this one. Just to remind you that if you haven't heard already, there was a Philippe Senderos interview on general release that was put out in midweek, and over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/arseblog, a really great interview with a legend of Arsenal Football Club, Liam Brady. You can hear that right now if you're an Arseblog member on Patreon. It costs just a fiver a month. If you're not, €5 a month, and you get access to that interview and lots more. Here's a little snippet from the Liam Brady. So, I mean, 1980 was a disappointing year in terms of what the club might have achieved and what you might have achieved as a player, with two finals, the FA Cup final and the Cup Winners' Cup final against Valencia.
Yeah, we were a really good team, and you know, to get to another two finals again after 79, I think demonstrated that this would be our third FA Cup final on the trot. And not only that, was we got into a European final, into the Cup Winners' Cup final. We had to beat Juventus in the semi-final. So it showed, you know, what a good team we were on our day. But, again, I'll go back. We didn't really add to the squad. And you know, my contract was coming to the end in 1980. And because we hadn't shown the ambition that I thought we should have shown, and got better players in to challenge the likes of Liverpool for the league, I'd kind of made up my mind, and I wanted to move on.
You can hear that full interview, a full hour with Liam Brady talking about his life and times at Arsenal and beyond, over on our Patreon page right now, patreon.com/arseblog. Okay, let's do it. Let's fire up the Skype machine and answer some calls. Hello.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Matt from London.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I didn't think I'd get through this quickly.
You're the first one through, so congratulations. You get a prize, I think. I don't know what it is yet.
Wonderful.
But...
I look forward to hearing it. I just had a question about Aaron Ramsey, who I know is your favourite player.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think he's hugely important for us as well, and I think Arsenal fans would probably appreciate just how good he is if he was sold.
Yeah.
Because I think he goes somewhere pretty big. If that does happen, then I think that's probably looking more likely every day that he doesn't sign a contract. What kind of player would you like him to be replaced with? Have you given that a thought? Personally, I've been impressed by Matuidi's performances for France. Might be a bit over-ambitious, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't remember what age Matuidi is. I think he's into his 30s now at this point.
31.
He's 31. So, yeah, we might need something a little bit younger than that. Maybe look for something for the future. You know, I'm a bit worried about the Ramsey thing because I do feel like the club have been making efforts. I'm aware that the club have been making efforts to get him to sign a new deal, to commit to a new contract, and as yet he hasn't. I hear that maybe there's some shenanigans with his agent. I'm not 100% sure on that. And I think interest from abroad might be a factor in this. Now, whether that interest is concrete enough for a deal to go through this summer, or whether it's a case that they might want to wait until next summer when he's available on a free, that could be the thing. So it's a complicated one. It's a difficult one for the club. You know, they've got a lot of credit for the things that they've done so far this summer, but I think this is a situation which is going to be a bit testing for them, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. I just wonder if we do lose him, that's kind of big player that you're losing, and it will kind of overshadow everything that we've done so far.
Yeah.
And whether there's anyone else out there that can obviously come in and replace him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Off the top of my head, it's hard to know. It depends really who's available and whether, you know, we get one of those sort of transfer, not merry-go-rounds, but once the dominoes start falling, players become available elsewhere, you know. It's hard to think.
Fellaini?
Fellaini, no, thank you very much, man. It took me a second there to realize. It was when my heart started again that I realized you were joking.
Nzonzi is the other one that's been circulating.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's, what, 29, and he's not really a Ramsey kind of a player. The qualities that Ramsey has in terms of his goal scoring, his creativity, getting into the box, you know,
absolutely.
I'm not sure how many midfielders, central midfielders there are out there with that kind of end product that we could realistically afford. So that's why I do think the Ramsey situation is a very important one, all right?
Or maybe it'd be reinvested somewhere else, like on the wing or something, if that's maybe what Emery is looking to do.
Yeah, maybe so, but you still have a midfield gap to fill then, I think. So
absolutely.
That's why I do think it's going to be a very tricky one over the next couple of weeks, because if, you know, the fact that we could sell him at the end of August, but we've got to replace him if we are going to replace him before the season starts, which is the 12th of August. So, you know, we're only less than three weeks away. So we've really got to get our skates on in that regard. So
it feels like another saga, doesn't it?
It does a bit. It does a bit, unfortunately. The summer's been going. It's been going so well. But, you know, I think it's inevitable. And we're not the only club that has these sagas. So we'll wait and see. All right, look, thanks a million, Matt. We'll take another call.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Bye. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello there. Who's this?
This is Safir from Austin, Texas. How are you, Andrew?
I'm okay, Safir from Austin, Texas. How are you, man?
Doing well. You know, just ready for the season to begin already.
Sure, yeah. It's getting exciting.
Yep, got those goosebumps already. I just wanted to say I'm a long time listener and reader and first-time caller. You've been a big part of my life since I was 12 years old, and I'm 25 now for context.
Oh,
so.
My God. Oh, I apologize profusely.
so good on you. Okay. So I guess my question is this.
Okay.
Who do you think at Arsenal right now is going to have a make or break performance next season, especially in terms of their, I guess, future Arsenal futures after that season?
So who might be somebody whose future isn't necessarily certain, but if they perform well, could cement that future?
Yes, exactly. And if they don't, you know, we might not necessarily see them after next season.
Right. That is a good question. It's hard to look beyond the kind of younger members of the squad. So the young centre halves, Callum Chambers, Rob Holding, maybe it's not quite make or break, but certainly this season, if they get enough playing time, they could reassure Unai Emery that they're guys for the future, because if you look at our central defensive options, you know, we've got Mustafi in the middle, who's around 26. Actually, Mustafi could be one if he stays as well. If it doesn't go well for Mustafi this season, I think he'd be almost certainly out if he doesn't already go this summer. But you've got Socrates, you've got Lauren Koscielny, and then below that, it's the young guys. So I think the young guys have a real opportunity to cement a place in the squad for the coming seasons. They've both been given new contracts, Holding and Chambers, as Mavropanos as well, but I don't think his situation is quite the same as theirs. The other two have been at the club for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So those two, when you look around midfield, maybe, I don't,
yeah,
Granit
Xhaka, I would
Xhaka,
agree with
maybe?
Chambers for sure.
Maybe Granit Xhaka? What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I could see Xhaka as well. It was actually kind of surprising to me that they gave him a new contract before the World Cup.
Mm.
I actually thought that they would kind of wait and see, but I guess it's mainly to preserve his value if you do have to sell him, perhaps.
Or it's a sign that they really think he's a guy for the future and for the next number of seasons, and that with someone like Lucas Torreira coming in midfield, that we have the perfect foil for Granit Xhaka, you know, to get the best out of him. So
yeah, well, I'm a fan. I would love to see Granit in the midfield for a bit longer. I think he definitely has that quality to play those passes, especially from the left out to kind of the right wing. And Lucas Torreira is right footed as well, and he can play those passes the other way. So I think that gives your midfield a little bit of quality in those intermediate passes outwards if you're trying to play a faster game than Arsene Wenger did.
Sure.
Which is kind of what it seems like under Unai Emery.
Yeah.
Slightly more direct attacking game.
Yeah. Looks like it, all right. But it's hard for me. Yeah, I think really the two young center halves are who I would say the make, not quite make or break, but for whom this season is really, really important.
Agreed. And if I could ask you one more quick question.
Go on then, quick one.
What do you think of Laurent Koscielny's chances of reestablishing himself as a first choice center half for this season after his injury?
Very slim. I think it's a big, big injury to pick up at 32 years of age. I think there were signs perhaps last season that Koscielny was, if not quite in terminal decline, not quite the same player that he was. I think he can be a useful squad player if he can get himself fit again, but I don't know that Laurent Koscielny is going to be the guy who's going to be first choice anymore for Arsenal, which is a bit sad because I think he deserved to not go out in a better way, but I think perhaps for it to be a bit more graceful, if you like, a bit more dignified without the injury. So,
agreed. Oh, yeah, he's definitely been one of my favorite Arsenal players for the last 8 years. So
yeah.
it would be sad to see his role diminish, but you know,
sure.
That's just football, I guess.
It is. All right, man. Thanks a million.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the call, Andrew.
Not at all. Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling in. Cheers.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
Yes. Who's this?
This is Tom.
Hey, Tom. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Oh my gosh! I can't even believe I got through. I'm calling from Illinois, about 45 minutes west of Chicago.
Okay. And how's it going out there today?
It's 80 degrees, a little windy, so I'm kind of tucked in between a corner of a building here, so there's no wind.
Oh, you're outside. You're calling off the street.
Yeah, calling off the street.
So. Cool. So what's on your mind?
So I took a test this morning, and I saw your post and was like, oh, man, 12:30, perfect time. So I have two questions.
Sure.
One's real quick,
okay.
And the other one's just about Arsenal.
Okay.
So Lucas Perez, when I first saw him, my favorite game that he played was against Bournemouth, the comeback where
the 3-3.
It ended up 3-3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a question. If you had heard anything about if he was in favor with Unai Emery at all, like if he's, you know, at that left side, I just think he really didn't get a very big, very good run out with Arsene.
Yeah.
Not really sure why, but I just didn't know if you'd heard anything. So
I haven't heard anything yet. And it's difficult to know when we're going to hear about players because he's only been working with them a couple of weeks. So it might take him a while to make up his mind. My feeling is, you know, at the moment, it looks like Danny Welbeck might go. So if Danny Welbeck goes, Lucas Perez is decent quality and experience to have in your squad to give you that bit of depth behind Aubameyang and behind Lacazette. So I wonder if that might be a reason for him to stay. You know, he's got plenty of experience. He is a good player. He didn't have a great season with Deportivo last year, but you know, I think that was true of their entire team. They ended up relegated from La Liga. So I don't know is the answer, but I would not be unhappy if we kept him if we moved Danny Welbeck on, because I think he is a decent player. I'm not sure he's really an option in the wide positions, although he is quite creative. He's a good eye for a pass and got a good few assists for Deportivo. But I just don't know. You know, we're going to find out in the next few weeks what's going to happen in terms of players going out. So we'll see. We'll see.
Definitely.
I like him.
So awesome.
What's your other question?
I like him a lot too.
Yeah.
So, last question. And I know you want to get some more guys here.
Sure.
Or ladies. So, just a real funny question. My girlfriend's, one of her best friends from high school, they just got married in Ireland.
Right.
They're the last name of Hogan, so they're just very, very into
their Irish heritage. I know them.
And all that kind of stuff.
I know all the Hogans here.
Yeah, yeah, right. So so they just got married there, but they were talking to me and saying that you know, I'm a very big fan of beer and Jameson. And so I asked them, I said, so I've heard, does Guinness really taste better in Ireland?
Yeah.
And I wanted to hear you know, what you might have thought of that.
Yes, it definitely does taste better in Ireland. And actually, there are places in Ireland where it tastes better than other places.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there are certain bars in Dublin that are renowned for their Guinness, that if you go there, you know you're going to get a really good pint. Other places, not so much. But if the best Guinness I've ever had in my life, and it's consistent throughout the town, in Dingle, in County Kerry, for whatever reason, maybe it's something about the water, the way they clean the pipes, or whatever it is. If you go to Dingle and you drink Guinness, it's, I'm not going to say a life-changing experience, but you will most definitely taste the difference between Guinness there and Guinness you'll have anywhere else, and I include Dublin in that. So,
wow.
So all right,
well,
go.
Whenever I do make it out to Ireland, I'm going to have to go there. So.
You definitely will. It's a beautiful part of the country as well, so you'll enjoy that and the Guinness.
Wonderful.
All right, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, definitely. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, who have we got?
Daniel,
how are you?
Okay, could be better, could be worse.
Could be better, could be worse. Okay, so what's your question?
My question, I just want to talk to you about the friendly in Dublin in a couple of weeks. Just,
oh, yeah?
Are you going? Are you looking forward to it? And can you say if you're doing anything with the Arsecast or anything?
Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. We were trying to get a live Arsecast together, but unfortunately James is not available. He is indisposed.
Sick?
No, not again? Sick. He's got a previous commitment.
Okay.
So he's not actually sick. He can't actually preemptively be sick. I wouldn't necessarily put it past him, but no, at this moment in time, that's not a power that he has available to him. Yeah, I am looking forward to it, you know, because Arsenal in Dublin is a real novelty. Normally, when you go to an Arsenal game or you go to watch Arsenal, there's a fair amount of travel involved in airports and sitting around airports and feeling hungover on planes, which is an unpleasant thing to do. So it will be nice for me to go to a game and have a few beers afterwards and then just kind of stroll home. So I'm looking forward to it from that point of view, and also looking forward to it from the point of view of seeing what we look like and what sort of a team Unai Emery picks and what system we play and all that kind of stuff. So are you going yourself?
I'm hoping to, yeah. I've got a ticket, so I'm hoping to. I bought the lanyard thing, which is nice.
Right, okay. That's a special ticket or something, is it?
Yeah, it's just your ticket with a lanyard. So I'm hoping to go, hopefully. I mean, I can never be sure, but hopefully. And it'll be nice to see them play. And at that point, that's what, our second last friendly of the pre-season. We've probably played Lazio now in Stockholm. But so hopefully we'll get an idea of what sort of team or system that Emery will go with going into the start of the season.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be informative. These preseason friendlies will be a bit more informative than usual. So, I'm looking forward to it from that point of view for sure. Okay, well, look, thanks for the call, Daniel. We're going to go take another one and maybe see you at the game in Dublin. Who knows?
Hopefully. All right,
cheers.
Thanks, man. Great to have you. Bye.
Hello. Andrew.
Yes. Hi, who's this?
This is Ahmad from Egypt. I didn't actually expect to get through.
Okay, how are you? How's Egypt today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. Sun is shining and the weather's quite summery here, so we're making the most of it.
Okay, I'm actually still stuck at work, but I thought maybe I'd give you a call.
Okay, that's good. I hope you're using work's phone as well, just to...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing.
Excellent. Good man. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a couple of questions. Actually, one of them you've spoken about briefly in the previous podcast. But the first question is, don't you think the three people running the club at the moment are trying a bit too hard to sell us Emery? Maybe kind of? With all the videos and the 6 minutes dugout videos and stuff.
Maybe they are, but also I understand it as well, because things were so contentious and fractious under Arsene Wenger. You know, we had a very divided fan base, a really very divided fan base. And whatever way you want to look at that situation, whether you were Wenger in or whether you were Wenger out or whatever you were, the one thing I suppose we could all agree on is having a fan base that's like that is not a healthy thing for the club. It's not a healthy thing for the players. I think the players referenced that a couple of times as well. You know, they're aware of how much pressure they're under because fans are unhappy with the general situation. So the way I look at it is, yeah, they are over-egging the pudding. No question about it. This stuff about hard work and this stuff about double sessions as if double sessions are unique. You know, they're not. But I can understand why they're doing it, because everybody can get behind hard work and everybody can get behind the idea of something new. So to push something new and different and exciting, I get it. And if it helps bring fans together ahead of a new season, then, you know, I don't really have any problem with it at all.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, my second question was, what do you think are the expectations set by the board for Embry for this season? What do you think exactly is the breaking point for them with Embry?
I think they will be looking for him to get the club back into the top four, and I think that will be considered a successful first season for Unai Emery. That's what I think.
Well, the FA Cup or the Europa League, not really a priority for this month and this season, maybe?
Maybe not. I would say that we will approach the Europa League in much the same way that Arsene Wenger did, with, I'm not going to say understrength sides, but with fringe players first and foremost, in the group stages, because, you know, our squad should be strong enough to get us through whatever group that we get when the draw is made. And, you know, as the season goes on, you can't stick with one priority if it becomes clear that a different one is the more sensible one, you know? So if let's say we're seventh in the league, but we're doing well in the Europa League, it would be foolish for us to concentrate on the Premier League. We would have to alter that. But I think at the start of the season, they will be looking for him to get back into the Champions League, into the top four, back at the top table in Europe, get that money back, get that income back that we get from the Champions League, the prestige that comes with the Champions League. And I guess that they will be relatively happy, even if we don't win a trophy, if we get back into the top four. So
I agree. I think the Champions League at the moment is the top priority for us, because I believe we've actually bought enough players considering our situation, because I didn't actually expect us to buy this much players considering we don't play the Champions League. A player like Torreira, I think, probably had better offers from Champions League clubs.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think this is sort of an achievement, that the amount of players we've actually bought. So,
yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, look, we'll let you go before you get fired for running up too big a phone bill.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for calling in. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, who's this?
I'm Kirtan from Toronto.
Hey, Kirtan, how's it going?
I'm good. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you as well. Good afternoon to you at the time of of recording this afternoon. What's going on?
Quite good day. Quite sunny. It's going good.
Okay.
Thank God it's not humid as it was.
Yeah, the humidity's the killer. That's for sure.
Yeah. How was Ireland? How was Dublin?
Dublin is it's all right. Yeah, it's nice and sunny and nice and warm. We've been having a great stretch of weather here, so. No rain and everything is brown and all the crops are dying. But hey, what can you do? That's the way the world is going. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I was just thinking about this transfer window this season.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with the transfers till now, but equally worried about how I am quite not so optimistic about the defense back four.
Yeah.
And I know, like, people, they have signed Socrates as well, but I'm quite worried about how the centre back pairing, which will be done by Emery. So
yeah.
I'm quite worried about that, because let's say if Mustafi didn't change, if he's not doing well.
Yeah.
What if Socrates and Mavropanos is doing well? Will he take a bold step of pushing out Mustafi out of the squad and, you know, like, first team squad?
Yeah.
He has to do that, so I'm quite worried about that.
Yeah,
age is not a criteria, you know, to be in the team, right? I feel that. So
sure,
So what do you think of, what do you think about that? Like, what if Mavropanos and Sokratis do extremely well?
Well, then they play. I think you should pick your team on merit. You know, it's about what kind of idea he has for his central defense right now. We don't know. You would have to assume that Sokratis is going to be one of the players, given that he is the big signing in defense. Wasn't huge.
Because I remember when Mustafi joined Arsenal and he was playing along with Koscielny.
Yeah.
So it was quite good. It was quite promising in the initial stages. So... When Arsenal conducted a live video with Mustafi, I happened to ask him a question saying, you know, like that's when Mustafi was trending on Twitter. So I was like asking him, you know, how do you think the pairing is working? He was like, okay, it's good. And then, you know, as the season went on, it drained.
Yeah.
So for me, the center back pairing is very essential.
Sure. Sure. I agree. It is clearly part of the backbone of the team. But right now, I don't know what he's thinking. I do wonder, you know, if we're going to see perhaps a central defensive pairing at the start of the season that looks very different from the one at the end of the season. You know, I hope he's adaptable in that regard and he's able to look at players and say, okay, look, you're not doing it. And he does have options. Let's face it, we've got loads of options for central defense right now. And if when Koscielny comes back, that's another option. So,
only thing is, age should not be a criteria in the squad. No, because
it's
just a number.
Yeah, of course, it is just a number, but it works both ways. Of course, experience comes with age, and particularly when you're a central defender, that is it's a big part of playing the position well, because you do learn a lot in your formative years, and that's why I think. I'm very interested to see how Holding and Chambers develop. We had a question about that from somebody else a few minutes ago. So I'm interested to see how they develop and what sort of chances they get. Mavropanos as well. And how tolerant he is of mistakes. But the other thing to bear in mind, I think, with the center of our defense is that we're going to see a slightly different midfield. We're going to see a midfield that is... reworked and perhaps set up to give the defenders a bit more protection than midfields have done in the past. So that might be something that could offset perhaps some of the weaknesses of our central defenders.
Yeah. Are you up for selling Danny Welbeck and keeping Paris?
Yes. I just had a question about that as well. So I would be up for that. I think Welbeck could go, and I think Perez gives us just a bit of a safety net along with Eddie and Kedia in the striking positions.
I remember he scored a hat-trick in last year, probably. I don't remember which team again, but
it was in the Champions League. I think he scored a hat-trick.
Probably Ludogorets. I'm not sure, but
right. Okay, well, look, thanks for your call, Kirthan. We're gonna go take another one. Good to talk to you.
Cheers
Andrew. Man, bye. Hello
Andrew.
Yes, hello, who's this?
This is Fletcher from Cork.
Oh, hello Fletcher from Cork, how are you?
I'm good. I literally was just sitting in the car about to play six-side football, and I saw that you were doing a phone-in show. And so we're starting in 5 minutes. So I said, I'll give you a shout for the first 4 minutes before we go on.
Okay, before you run rings around all those guys on the six-a-side pitch, yeah?
Yes, indeed. So my question is, what is your six-a-side Arsenal team?
What is my six-a-side Arsenal team? Of all
if
time?
If you were managing an Arsenal team, six-a-side league, six players you're going for?
Do I have to pick a goalkeeper? Do I have to pick an actual goalkeeper?
No, you don't.
Right, because you're
a manager.
Yeah, you take turns in goal, right? That's the way it works. That's exactly how it works. Okay, so I'm going to pick Liam Brady, Robert Pires, Cesc Fabregas, Thierry Henry. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dennis Bergkamp. And okay, I've got to pick one more. That is really good. Boom, boom, boom. Nelson Vivas.
Okay. That's a nice end. Also, great podcast, Liam Brady. The guys are calling me over. So I just said I got to go play and score some goals.
You go score some goals, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Andrew.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Hey, Andrew. This is Shriya here. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Oh, he's in big trouble because he's gone. His call just dropped. I hope it was his internet connection that went and not something tragic like being flattened by a piano or something like that. Anyway, he's gone. He's gone. Will he ever come back? This is the question. We'll have to wait and see. Hello?
Hey, Andrew Shriari again.
Oh, hello. How are you? I was very worried. I thought you might have got hit by a falling piano or something. It wasn't anything like that, no? Oh, he's gone again. Whatever it is, this guy's got some serious problems. Maybe there's like a Skype drought wherever he is, and you're only allowed 8 seconds of Skype at a time. That must be what it is. Bit like the water rations we have here in Dublin. Seriously, we've got water rations. Your water goes off at 10 o'clock at night, comes back on at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's because of, you know, the drought. Did you see it was like 90 degrees in Finland in the Arctic Circle the other day? I don't think this is good, folks. Oh, here he is again. Hello? Hello again? No, he's gone. Every time I answer the call, he's gone. I think we're just going to have to accept that we're never going to talk to this guy and find out what it was he wanted. Could have been something incredible. I have a feeling that it probably was, like we're missing out on something amazing here because of whatever it is that's in the way, this technological blockage that we've got. Oh, well. Now the dog's barking outside. Hello?
Hello there.
Hello there. Who's this?
Oh, my God, I can't believe I got through. This is Alex. Well, my name's Alex.
Hello, Alex. How are you? How's it going? Good. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I had no idea I'd get through. I thought
you'd just ring.
Sorry for wasting your time. Yeah.
Just for the laugh, just to see if you might get through.
Just for the laugh, I just want to give a big shout out to Dennis Bergkamp.
I'm sure he's listening. I'm sure he's listening. You'll be very pleased to have your best wishes, Alex.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. Oh.
All right, cheers. Good to talk to you.
Cheers. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi there. Who's this?
Hey, man, it's Andrew. How are you?
Hello, Andrew. I'm fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from all the way over in Canada. I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
All right. All right. And how's your summer going?
Oh, it's been pretty good so far, man. We've had a lot of nice temperatures, good heat. The sun's been shining, so I can't complain.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. I'm sure everyone else is as well. They don't want to hear someone ring in just to complain. So what's on your mind? What's on your mind?
Well, I just popped in for a break here at work, and I saw you got the lines open.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd give you a call. Why not?
Why not? And do you have a question, or is there anything Arsenal related you want to chat about?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to give you guys some credit. I love the podcast over here, over the sea. Big Arsenal fan. Been an Arsenal fan for maybe 6 or 7 years now, so I kind of miss some of the glory days. But
sure,
follow the club every week and love the club. Love getting up early to watch the club. I guess more specifically, I'm pretty excited about some of the new signings, but especially Aubameyang. I think that this guy's got real potential for us. I can see him. I love his energy. I love his positivity around the club.
Yeah.
And I love this guy. I think he can bring big things for us.
Yeah, I think he's one of those players who, having had a few months to settle in, he did very well in the few months that he was at the club. He only played the Premier League games as well. I think, you know, now that he's well and truly settled in, he could score a lot of goals for us next season. Yeah, he's exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember, I'm not sure if it was on your podcast or somewhere else, they were talking about a Aubameyang goal total. And, I think that this guy could really bag like 30 goals for us if we get the right formation, the right system in play to really funnel the ball to him. I think that that's really important because it's like when we had Alexis, we had that guy at the top of the formation, but we couldn't get him the ball, you know? So I think that's a really big thing. Just, the new system's coming into place and a lot of positivity and just really looking forward to the season here.
Yep. Same here. Be interesting to see how the preseason games go and what he's going to do. So, yeah, hopefully your guy can score us 30 goals. That'd be great.
I'd love it. And keep up the good work, man. I love the show.
Oh, thanks a million. Thanks for calling in. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Nilesh. I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Nilesh in New York. How's it going?
It's pretty good. How about yourself?
It's going all right, thanks. It's going all right, yeah. I'm sitting in my office, which is really warm. The sun is shining through the window, so it's quite warm. But apart from that, I'm doing good. What's on your mind this evening?
That's good to know. Yeah, so I'm guessing you are towards the end of your show, and you must have covered a lot of topics, most of the topics, by now.
We have covered some, but give it a try and see if we haven't.
Sure. So I wanted to know, what do you think we should be more ambitious in the transfer market in terms of the quality and the profile of the players we are getting? You know, I'm happy with the promptness and the proactiveness, you know, with which we have addressed some of the issues. But for a squad, you know, that finished sixth, around 30 points behind the leaders, should we be doing more? I think we are accepting this 50 million budget thing a little too easily for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
We should be more ambitious in the quality of players. That's what I feel.
Okay.
I want to know your thoughts about that.
I think in some ways you've answered your own question, right? And I do think we've spent a bit more than 50 million already. We might recoup some of that money, of course, when we make some sales. But I think the situation is we have to be aware that we're not the biggest draw in the Premier League. We're not as big a draw as we used to be, even a few seasons ago. So we have to be aware of where we are as a club right now. And we are a club that has had a big change. I'm not saying we're on the precipice or anything like that, but we've changed a manager who's been there for 20 odd years. And we brought in a new guy, and we're playing in the Europa League, and the other clubs look strong, and they've spent money as well. And I think we probably have to get ourselves back into the Champions League places before we can start showing more ambition in the transfer market when it comes to, A, the money we spend, and also the kind of player that we bring in, the profile of the player we bring in. But it's also worth pointing out that we did bring in two £50 million strikers in the last 12 months as well. You know, Aubameyang has come in for £55 million. Lacazette came in for, you know, the best part of £50 million. So we have to take those signings into account as well when you look at what we needed to do this summer. And I think the signings that we've made this summer are functional. You know, they're designed to add experience and depth to the squad in key areas, and then look to get the best out of the big players. So get the best out of Lacazette, get the best out of Aubameyang, get the best out of Mesut Ozil, get the best out of Henrik Mkhitaryan, get the best out of Aaron Ramsey, you know, if he stays. So I can sort of understand where you're coming from, but I think you have to put the signings into that context. You know, the whole thing has changed. We are a team that finished sixth. We can't go out and buy the top, top players in Europe. We just can't. We're not that attractive when we don't have the money. But if we make the right signings and develop the squad and the coach can get the team playing in the right way, then we can put ourselves in a position where we can do that.
Sure, sure. That makes a lot of sense. You know, thanks for taking the question. You know, I really appreciate the work you do. You know, I'm a regular reader, regular subscriber to your podcast, so it's really you know, really refreshing to see to hear your perspective on things.
Great. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right.
Have a nice day.
You too, man. Cheers.
Bye.
Hello. Hello. There's nobody there. I can't hear them anyway. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you, so I'm going to have to hang up. Sorry. Hello.
Hello. Is it Andrew?
Yes.
Oh, Andrew, it's Isaac from Leicester.
Hello, Isaac from Leicester. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. Yourself?
Not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. What's the story?
Not much. I've been your fan for almost 10 years.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
yeah, man. What do I ask you now? I was shocked to even get through to you.
Yeah, a few people have done that.
Yeah.
One guy got through and he didn't know what to say. No question, but that's okay. I'm sure you can think of something.
Yeah, sure. I was just thinking, I've heard you and James talk about this all the time, you know, trying to predict what the season has in store for us.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're all excited about the new regime in the club. And, everyone is talking about what formation is he going to play, who's going to start, is he going to play Aubameyang and Lacazette up front. I mean, to me personally, I'm just excited. I can't really say he should do this, but I'm sure he knows what he's doing. I just want to, you know, give maybe an advice to all Arsenal fans. Just trust the process. I'm sure we'll come out good at the end anyway.
Yeah, I hope so. Look, it's, you know, I think the thing for me is, you know, it's possible to have a few question marks over some of the signings we've made and whether or not they're going to fit in or whether the Premier League might be a bit much for them. But it's just exciting because it is new and it's different. And, you know, they're stressing to us how hard they're working. You know, that's the key thing that we're getting from preseason, isn't it? Hard work.
It is. And which is something that I think he also stressed. If you remember back to his first interview, he did say, you know, I can promise you one thing. We're going to work hard.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's probably why, you know, we've been shown that on various Arsenal media. It is nice to see, because I'm not sure what happened when Arsene Wenger was there, but it seems like the players have actually been put through their paces very, very hard.
Yeah,
and they seem to be taking it very well as well. You know, you don't see them moaning, but they seem to love that they're being worked hard.
Yeah, it'd be a bit mad though, wouldn't it, if, like, you know, they got on Twitter and went, fucking hell, this new guy, is making us run like a bastard every day. What's he doing? Fucking stay to this guy.
Yeah.
So, I think there's, we're not going to get that kind of feedback, but, you know, he's a new guy, he's a new manager, and I think they'll want to impress him, you know?
Because
he doesn't have any favorites and he doesn't have any preconceived ideas about them. So they are going to have to work hard to get in the team. So let them work hard,
it.
I say.
I'm loving it.
Me too. All right, man.
Anyway, Andrew, thanks for your time. And I was shocked to get through to you, but I'm happy.
Good stuff. Okay? Glad to talk to you, Isaac.
Continue what you're doing, man. We all love you.
Thanks very much. All right. Talk to you
soon.
Man. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think we've got maybe time for one more. We'll see who comes through next. Hello, who's this?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Am I in?
Yeah, you're here. Who is it?
Nicholas from Austria.
Hello, Nicholas from Austria. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, just enjoying my holidays.
Oh, yeah? You off work or off college or school or...?
Off school, actually, yeah, off school.
Oh, right, okay. You should enjoy that time.
I will. I'll try my best, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you'll find things to do. So what's on your mind today?
Oh, just because there are some rumors flying around that from Bayern Munich, the winger, Jesus Christ, I've forgotten his name.
Kingsley Coman.
Kingsley Coman, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you would sign him or another winger, basically, so what would that mean for Lacazette? Because then I guess Aubameyang would have to move to the middle. And if we would probably move him on or...
Yeah, maybe. I don't think we'll move Lacazette on. I think we'll keep both Lacazette and Aubameyang this season. You know, we do have a lot of football to play. We've got the Europa League, which you would imagine, you know, we're going to get through the group stage. We've got to get to the knockout stages. You know, having a strong squad to then compete across the Premier League and the Europa League will be really important. So I think it would be mad to move Lacazette on, even if they're not necessarily always going to play together, Lacazette and Aubameyang. I'd be a bit surprised about Kingsley Coman, to be honest. Me too.
Because it was coming out of the blue. Basically, it was just like, I was not shocked, but yeah, it was quite a surprise.
It is one of those things that people keep talking about, the need to have a wide player, a sort of traditional winger or a creative player in the wide positions. But maybe some of it depends on what kind of formation that Unai Emery is going to pick as well, you know, and who he's going to deploy in those positions, because we do have options. We've got Mkhitaryan, we've got Alex Iwobi. He could play Mesut Ozil as one of the wide players as well if he's playing with a midfield three and not playing maybe a midfield diamond, you know. So I think the options are there. It is one of those things, though, that you'd never turn down a really good winger, would you? If there was one there and one available, you'd always want one in your squad at least.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I suspect we're not going to bring anybody else in until we sell somebody though as well. So, we'll probably see some outgoings before we make any more. All right. Well, look, thanks for your call.
Oh, no problem, mate.
And do enjoy your holidays, and you know, we'll keep fingers crossed for a good season.
Oh yeah, goodbye.
Thanks. Cheers.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Big thank you to everybody who called through this evening. Apologies to those who did try and get through but couldn't get through because, the technological limitations of this, it's quite basic. You can only answer one call at a time. I did see some people try to get through. Matt, Bruce City Gunners, sorry to you. I saw your thing come up. I was about to press and then it hung up and then someone else came through and then you never call back. You never call back, Matt. But anyway, thank you to all our callers. Thanks to you for listening. Please, if you haven't already, and if you can be arsed, I know many of you can't be arsed, and I understand that. There are so many things in life that I can't be arsed with. But if you could be arsed to give the show a rating and review on iTunes, that would be swell. We'd really, really appreciate that. James and I will be here on Monday. We'll have an Arsecast Extra for you. So until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Arsenal Football Club today announced the transfer of chairman Sir Chips Keswick to FC Scrotum in the German 3rd Division. The club have concluded a swap deal involving their highly regarded young executive Hans Gruber. Arsenal will also provide them with 100 weight of schnitzel. Former chairman Sir Chips Keswick said, Ich bin ein Scrotumer. Quite so.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.